The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
We welcome you to the broadcast here on Facebook Live. If this is your first time joining us, I am Ricky Scapell, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. And again, I welcome you to the broadcast. If you're new to the broadcast, and maybe this is your first time listening to any of our messages, please comment and interact below under the comment section. Let us know that this is your first time or new, and let us know where you're joining us from, because we always like to hear and get feedback from all of our listeners and so on and so forth. So we want to officially welcome you guys on Facebook Live. We want to welcome you guys also here on YouTube and on podcasts. And we're going to be dealing with a particular subject tonight called The Abode of Satan and His Angels. And you're going to see that come up here in just a moment. The abode of Satan and his angels. Now, again, this is the second part to a three-part series that we're doing, dealing with Lucifer, the origin of Satan. It's a three-part series. We did the whole an in-depth study on Lucifer, where he originated from, how he got kicked out of heaven, when that happened, where he is now, present tense, and what's going to happen to him in the future. All right, and then today we're going to deal with the abode. The word abode there is the dwelling place. It's the residence. It's the current residence of Satan and his demons, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. And then on our third part, which we're going to do probably next week, I'm going to show you some in-depth stuff on what Jesus had to do, why he had to shed his blood, not only just for our redemption, our salvation, but why he had to go to heaven and take his own blood and sprinkle it upon the different furnishings in heaven that Moses saw and he built a replica of. So this is what we're going to get into tonight. Again, our second part of this three-part series on the origin of Satan. We're going to be dealing with the abode of Satan and his angels. So the first thing we want to talk about is where is this location? Well, I pulled up some scripture here from all the references in scripture that we pulled out from, and these are all predominantly Old Testament with the exception of one scripture here that you're going to see come up here on your screen. That's a New Testament verse. All of these scriptures are Old Testament, but one, which is 2 Peter 2:4. From all these references here, it appears that the location of hell appears to be down and what I believe to be in the center of the earth or under the earth's surface. So let's go through some of these. Psalms 55:15. Let death seize them. And I've bold printed these. I've put all these in caps here, or I've made these in bold here where you could see this on your screen. Let them seize them. Let them go down alive into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. Notice, again, the reference is going down here. In Isaiah 14:15, this is a direct reference to Lucifer. We talked about this last week. Yet you shall be brought down. Again, it's down. To Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Ezekiel 31:16-17. I made the nation shake in the sound of its fall when I cast it down to hell together with those who descend again into the pit, and all the trees of Eden, the choice and best of Lebanon, all that drink water were comforted in the depths of the earth. They also went down to hell with it, with all those slain by the sword, and those who were its strong arm dwelt in its shadows among the nations. Now here's your New Testament verse, 2 Peter 2:4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them where? Down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Numbers 16:32 through 33. This is our last reference here in the Old Testament. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up. This is talking about the sons of Korah who rebelled against Moses with their households and all the men with Korah with all their goods. So they and all those with them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. Again, guys, notice here that all these references here that you see here is all going down. It's all references to the location of hell being down. And it seems to appear, when you put all this together, it appears that hell is located under the earth, somewhere under the earth. I believe it's in the center of the earth, and it's down. Okay. Now, I want to pull something else up here real quick. Let's talk about these references. There's some references here that deal with the names of hell in the Bible. We're going to talk about that. Let's break that down, because you'll hear these names interchanged, and you'll read this when you start reading your Bible in the Old and New Testament. So there's five common names that are interchanged throughout the Bible, and these are the five names of hell in the Bible. And here they are: Sheol, Hades, Gehenna, Tartarus, and some pronounce this Tartaru, and Abyss. Let me say that again. Sheol, Hades, Gehenna, Tartarus, or Tartaru, depending on how you want to pronounce that, and the word Abyss. So let's break this down real quick. First of all, the word Sheol, S-H-E-O-L, you'll find this reference several places in the New Testament. The King James translation often translates the word Sheol as hell. These passages are references to hell taught elsewhere in the Old Testament and are fully revealed in the New Testament. And since the ordinary usage of the word Sheol is death, or place of the dead, nevertheless, it is noteworthy to say this, that many of these passages speak of Sheol, do so in terms that translate to judgment, such as, in fact, Isaiah 14:15 says, quote, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell." We talked about that. We referenced that a while ago. "To the sides of the pit." But nevertheless, these passages are ambiguous at best, as being slain and sent to the place of the dead is often a form of judgment in itself within the Old Testament. Not only is the doctrine of hell fully revealed in the New Testament of the Bible, it is entirely in conjunction with or in harmony with the revelation in the Old Testament, which teaches that God will have his day in which he eternally expresses his wrath, visiting judgment upon the wicked. The Old Testament teaches the doctrine of literal and eternal hell. So don't let some preacher get up and tell you that all the references of hell is figurative, or it's some kind of allegory, or it's some parable. They try to tell you that with Luke 16, and we're going to get into that later and show you that it is not a parable, but it is literal. All right? So again, the word Sheol is mentioned. Now we hear the word Hades. In the New Testament Greek, the word Hades translated as hell 10 times in the New Testament, which defines Hades in the Greek understanding of this is the region of departed spirits of the lost. Again, let me say that again. Hades is defined as the region or the abode of the departed spirits of the lost. Now, then you see a word called in the New Testament called Gehenna. The word Gehenna in the New Testament literally translated as the Valley of Hinnom. It is thought to be a small valley located outside of the gates of Jerusalem at what was called the Dung Gate. That's what you're seeing right here on your screen. This is an actual photo of this in Jerusalem. Gehenna was literally the garbage dump of the city where the carcasses of dead animals were burned. They were brought here and they were burned. The fires there continued to burn day and night, relating to the smells of burning flesh. Gehenna was initially where some of the kings of Judah actually sacrificed their children by fire, which was heavily linked to idol worship. Therefore, it was deemed to be cursed by the Jews. This is where some of the ancient Israelites that you read about in the Old Testament, like in the book of Jeremiah, passed their children through the fire to this Canaanite god, what we call Moloch. And the Bible identifies as Moloch. Jesus, interestingly enough, Jesus compared the eternal place of hell to this place in Jerusalem called, again, Gehenna, which was known as the Valley of Hinnom. Why did he do this? Because Gehenna presented itself such a vivid image that Christ used it as a symbolic depiction of hell. Why? Because it was a place where there was burning flesh that could be smelled. There was maggots, or the worm was continually seen. The flame that was burning there, that burned the garbage dump of the city, it burned continually day and night. And Jesus, when he was speaking of hell, by the way, Jesus mentioned hell far more than he did heaven in the Bible, in the New Testament. And when he was speaking to the disciples and those that were gathered around, he mentioned hell, and when he described hell, he pointed to the Valley of Hinnom or Gehenna, and he wasn't saying this was hell, because you've got, again, there's teachers that teach that there is no literal hell, and that Gehenna or the Valley of Hinnom or hell that Jesus speaks of was only this valley in Jerusalem outside of the gate of Jerusalem. And this is what he was talking about. And he was not talking about a literal hell. No, my friend, Jesus was using an illustrated sermon like he always did. He used fish as illustrations. He used boats. He used wheat. He used sheep. He used goats. He used wheat. He used tares. Jesus was the greatest preacher in his day, and he always used illustration and illustrated message to get his messages across. So don't think for a second that hell is figurative or it is some type of parable and is not literal. Then we move to another New Testament word called Tartarus. And this is a chamber in the lowest parts of hell where the most wicked of spirits are confined, and many believe to be the first place that was created in the regions of the underworld. Now, I want to give you some scripture about that. I believe we've got some passages. Yes, here we go. Give me just a second to pull this up. Again, while this is coming up, the word Tartarus, by definition, is a chamber in the lowest parts of hell where the most wicked of spirits are believed to be confined and believed to be the, and many believed this was the alpha or the original, the beginning of the regions of the underworld that was created. And we'll talk about that in a minute in the beginning when we get to this. But look at these scriptures, 2 Peter 2:4 and Jude 6. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, remember, there was angels that decided to rebel with Lucifer. We talked about that in detail in our last segment we did on the first one of this series. Those angels were cast out of heaven with Lucifer, and it says, God did not spare those who sinned, but cast them down to hell. Where are they at today? They're in hell. They were cast down. They were delivered into chains of darkness, and they will be reserved for judgment. Some of these will be released in the time of the end during the book of Revelation. In fact, there's angels that are released out of the river Euphrates. You can read about that in the book of Revelation. Then Jude 6, listen to this. Jude dovetails right off of the Apostle Peter. He says, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode. Now, where was that? Where did they leave their abode? They left it from heaven. Where was the angels in the original creation? They were in heaven. They were with God. They were with Lucifer. But when Lucifer and those angels rebelled against God, they left their own abode because they did not keep their proper domain. He, speaking of God here, has reserved them, who? The angels, in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Again, this is all found in the book of Revelation during the great tribulation. All right. So then we have the word abyss, the word abyss. And that brings me to this next part that I want to talk about. The word abyss here is a abusos in the Greek. And it means, it's a reference to the bottomless pit. All right. This is where the demonic entity, again, will rise in the last days and become the Antichrist of the Bible that we read about in the book of Revelation. Now, when we get to Genesis chapter 1, it's interesting because there's a word here I want to talk about. Genesis chapter 1, and I'm going to give you a second. I'm going to pull this up. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And this is what it says here. And for all my flat earthers out there, I apologize. I could not find a flat earth image to pull up here. So, and I know you guys think that's funny, but there's a lot of people that don't, because we've lost subscribers because we put an image up that was not a flat earth. Believe it or not, people are that sensitive, and they get that offended. Okay. But nevertheless, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1, 2, 3, 2. In the beginning, God created. And by the way, that word created is bara in Hebrew. The original creation was created in perfection, without flaw, without blemish. He created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. The word deep here is the word tehom. And it, again, it refers to the bottomless pit. The darkest of chambers. Isaiah 45, 18 says, for thus says the Lord who created the heavens, who is God who formed the earth and made it? Who has established it? Who did not create it in vain? Who formed it to be inhabited? I am the Lord and there is no other. Again, in this passage, the word, there's some Hebrew words here I want to pull out. Without form here, it's from the Hebrew word to howl. I believe, I'm not sure how you pronounce it in Hebrew, but it means waste or desolation, or without form here, vain, confusion, empty, nothing, or wilderness. In other words, what we pull from this passage here in Genesis 1 and 2, the condition of the earth in its original state, guys, was perfection. God created in perfection. In Isaiah 45:18, it says, God did not create the earth in vain. So how can the earth be without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep? The answer to that is something happened between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2. That caused a cataclysmic or chaotic condition that produced the earth to be without form and void. And God created this chamber, what's called the deep under the earth, which again, by definition, is subterranean chambers under the earth where the waters were stored. Can I tell you, I believe with all my heart, this is the timeline when God created hell. And we know, according to the book of Luke that God created hell for the devil and his angels. So I believe the best timeline of this was found right here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 1, 2, in that time gap right there. Whenever that was, I can't tell if it was thousands of years ago. I can't sit here and tell you if it was millions of years ago or if it was billions of years ago. I don't know, and I'm not going to sit here and waste an hour trying to split hairs of when that was. But the point is, something happened during that time frame or in that little bit of space of time that caused the earth to be chaotic. And you can read, guys, there is other books even outside of the book of Genesis, like the book of Yasher, that is mentioned. It's a Hebrew book. It's a Jewish book of history that's mentioned in the Old Testament, and even in the book of Enoch, and book of First and Second Enoch, those references talk about a cataclysmic event that took place in the creation and also during the time of Noah's flood. And I believe, again, that's when God created, he heated up the core of the earth or the center of the earth, somewhere in there, these subterranean chambers of the earth. And this is where he put hell as we know it. Now, I know that's a lot to take in. Now let's go to the New Testament. And we're going to talk about Luke 16, one of the most famous, notorious passages in the New Testament when in regards to the references of hell, and it's found right here in Luke 16, 19 through 31. And friends, there is a lot of people out there that will teach you and they will preach to you that this passage of scripture in Luke 16, 19 through 31 is not literal, but they will teach to you that it's a parable. All right? So let me get into this, and I'm going to prove to you that this was not a parable, but it was a literal event. All right? Here we go. Luke 16, 19 through 31. If you want to follow along with me, I didn't pull this up on scripture or up on the screen because it's a lot of scripture reading, and you guys can just follow along with me here. Luke 16, 19 through 31. I'm going to read all this, and then we're going to break it down. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. And by the way, this is not the Lazarus that was raised from the dead out of the tomb that the stone was rolled away that you read about. This is a different Lazarus. He was full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Now, we're not going to get into Abraham's bosom on this episode or this segment. We'll talk about that on our third one, our final one. We'll talk about Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and being in torments in Hades or in hell, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham from afar off, and Lazarus was in his bosom. Now, how's that possible? You're going to have to listen to our third segment, and we'll tell you how that's possible. And then he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to you, to us." And then he said, quote, "I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." And Abraham said to him, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent." But he said unto them, "If they did not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Now, I know that's a lot to take in, but I want to break this down. There's some stuff that we got to break down. Number one, there was a rich man that lived in luxury, and he was known by other individuals there in Israel. He lived in luxury, and he lived in comfort on the earth. Number two, there was a beggar, and his name was Lazarus. He was also known there in his time. He was full of sores. He lay daily at the gate. This is how people knew who he was. The next thing, he begged of food daily. We know that dogs came and licked his sores. We know, according to the passage of Scripture here, that he eventually died. And when he died, he didn't go to sleep. Why is that important? Because my Seventh-day Adventist, among other brothers and sisters out there, teach and believe that when we die, when you and I die, our souls come out of our body, and they go into a place of sleep, and they will sleep until the eternal judgment. But again, in this passage of Scripture in Luke 16, the beggar did not sleep. It said it said that he was carried by angels down to a place called Abraham's bosom. Now, friends, they didn't carry his body. They carried his soul and spirit. The New Testament says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, I don't have time to go into, on our third segment, we'll talk about today, present tense, 2020, as you're listening to this, when our spirits leave our body, we don't go to sleep. Our spirit and soul goes either up or it goes down. And again, I don't have time to go into that today, but this was pre-crucifixion. So everyone who died went down, whether you were righteous or unrighteous. Your soul and spirit left your body, and it went down to a place called Hades or Abraham's bosom, depending on whether you were righteous or unrighteous. And we will get into detail about that later. All right. The rich man also died and was buried. So what was buried? His physical body. But it says the rich man immediately lifted up his eyes in torment in Hades. Not in the grave, not in the dirt. He wasn't sleeping. They buried this man's body, and he awoke. He lifted up his eyes, the Bible says, in torment in Hades. The rich man lifted up his eyes. Look, watch this. He had all five senses. He physically saw, when he looked up, Abraham and Lazarus in this compartment under the earth in the underworld. The next part, the rich man, again, had all five of his senses when he died and when he was buried. I'm going to prove that to you. Ready? The Bible says he was in torment or pain. He was suffering and in torture. In other words, he could feel physical pain. All right? He was able to see because he saw Abraham and Lazarus afar off. He begged Lazarus to come to him and dip his finger in water to cool his tongue. In other words, he could physically feel heat. He was thirsty. He wanted to quench his thirst. He was in heat. He was in torment. And in fact, the Bible says he was tormented in this flame. He was able, listen to this. My Lord, if this don't put the fear of God in you, he was able to remember his life on earth when he was alive and the opportunities that he had to repent and get right with God. And he remembered that he had five brothers that were not right with God. And he begged Abraham to warn them of that place in which he was sitting in torment, and not allow them to come. Man, I feel, I've got goosebumps all over me. That just the fear of God. So you need to tag someone in this, invite them into this message, give them the URL, share this podcast with them, whatever the case may be, and let them know hell is a real place. I know it's not popular to preach on today. I know it's not going to be in the top selling list of Christian books at the Christian bookstore or online. I know it's not going to probably be on a sermon on the Christian television. I know it's not going to be on the top five most charismatic Christians that preach today that you hear all over the world. They're probably not going to preach on hell. We don't hear about preaching like this today. But it's a real place. It's a place of torment. You'll have all five senses. You'll be able to hear, smell, see, taste, and feel. And you are going to remember all the times that you were given opportunities and chances to repent. And you're going to, and if you, God forbid that anyone would go there, they're going to remember the family members, the friends, the neighbors, the coworkers that they worked with, they lived with, that they were in, that they had a relationship with, that if they don't repent and get right with God and get their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they are going to go to this place of torment. I love what, I believe it was either Spurgeon or Finney said, God forbid that I would ever preach on hell to any man that I don't first weep over. Or he said, God forbid I would ever desire for any man to go to hell that I did not first weep over and desire that God would spare them. Oh, come on, somebody. I wish somebody would get this in your heart. We don't want to see this with no one. All right? So I'm going to pull up something here. We're almost done with this segment. I want to give you 8 facts about hell. 8 facts that you need to tell people about. This is an equipping message. 8 facts about hell. Number one, and we're going to read all these scriptures, by the way. Number one, it was originally created for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41. Number two, more people, did you know this? More people will go to hell than go to heaven. Matthew 7:13-14. Number three, demons will be in hell tormenting the lost. Luke 8:26-31. Number four, fire will be burning in hell continually. Matthew 25:41, Mark 9:42-44. Number six, hell is a place where the worm never dies. Mark 9:44. Number seven, Number six, hell will be a place of separation from God's presence for eternity. 2 Thessalonians 1:6-9. Number seven, it will be a place of continual torment. Revelation 20:10. And number eight, hell will be not a palace. That's a typo. It should say a place. Hell will be a place that we choose, or that we chose to spend eternity. John 3:16-18. Now let's break this down. I'm going to pull away here so that you guys can hear me here. Facts about hell. Number one, it was originally created for the devil and his angels. Where is that at? That's in Matthew 25:41. And then he shall say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire that prepared for the devil and his angels. And you say, well, it says it's prepared for the devil and his angels, not us. Yes, but all those who choose to deny the Lord, those who refuse to accept the Lord, those who choose to live for themselves or live for the devil, God has no choice but to allow you and I to go to that place of eternal torment because we have, and we'll get to that in a minute when we get to number eight, but because we've willfully rejected the Son of God. Okay? Number two, more people will, more people will statistically, based on the word of God, go to hell than they will heaven. Did you know the Bible says that hell has enlarged herself to be able to capacitate the souls that will enter there? But heaven is a fixed dimensioned place. Read it. It's in the book of Revelation. It's already got fixed dimensions. You can read about the dimensions in the book of Revelation. It's already fixed. It's a fixed dimensional place because it's not enlarging itself to take the capacity. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Listen to this. Jesus is warning here. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go into it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So there's your statistics. Demons, listen to this. Demons will be held in torment. Demons will be in hell tormenting souls. Now, where's this at? Luke 8, 26 and 31. There's a passage here where Jesus gets off. He goes to the country, the Gadarenes, there in Galilee, the opposite of Galilee. He steps into the land, and there meets him a man with demons. It's called Legion, meaning 1,000 demons. This man wore no clothes, and he lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice he said, quote, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. These are demons speaking. One translation said, what have you to do with us? Again, different gospel writers had a different perspective or different angle. It doesn't mean it's contradictory of the scriptures. It's just a different angle by a different gospel writer. For we, listen to this, I beg you, do not torment us. For we had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. Or I'm sorry, for he had commanded, Jesus commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For it often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is your name? And he said, Legion, because many demons had entered him. Listen to this. And they, plural tense, begged him that he would not command them to go into the abyss. There's that abistos, the pit, the bottomless pit. He commanded them, they pleaded with him, don't send us into the abyss or into the lower parts of the earth. So that tells us, again, that there are spirits there in hell, in this chamber, the abode of Satan. All right, the next thing, Jesus tells us that hell will have a fire that will be burning continually. Matthew 25, 41. And then they shall say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. In other words, it never burns out. Everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels. Mark 9, 42 through 44. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone would be hung around his neck and that he would be cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend him, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than having two hands go into hell and to the fire that shall never be quenched. And then he tells you here, where the worm never dies. And that leads me to the next part. The worm never dieth. And it's also mentioned again here in Mark, again, Mark 44, where the worm dieth not. All right. And then again, we will be separated from God's presence for eternity, because when you study the scriptures, those in hell will be cast, those who are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into the lake of fire, where they will be there with the beast. They'll there be there with the false prophet and Satan, that will burn forever and ever, and you'll be separated for God's for eternity. in Revelation 20:10 says this is a place of continual or everlasting torment. I'm going to read this, Revelation 20:10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And by the way, the Bible says, and all those whose name shall not be found in the Lamb's Book of Life, the fearful, the liars, the sodomites, the unforgiving, the abominable, and he mentions all these, they shall be cast into the lake of fire as well. Again, with these that I've mentioned here. And then last but not least, this is where I want to end this segment. This place called hell. Listen, guys, if you don't hear anything I say, please, if you're listening to this today by Facebook Live, by YouTube, however you're watching this today, by podcast, if you're not right with God, or you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, friend, this place that we talk about called hell is awaiting you. Whether you agree with it, whether you disagree with it, whether you don't believe it, whether you think it's a fairy tale, it's fear-mongering, it's a crutch, it's made up, it's just something that religions have made up to control the masses, it don't matter. Regardless of whether you believe it or not, there's coming, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. But I want you to know, because you and I have always heard this, I guarantee you've heard this. Why, if God is so full of love, and he is love, that he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son, why in the world would this God of love send us to a place of eternal damnation, a place of eternal fire that the worm does not quench, the fire never burns out, a place of everlasting torment? What kind of God, what kind of loving God would do that? Answer is found in John 3:16-18. Here it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that's Jesus Christ. By the way, there's no other name given under heaven unto men in which we must be saved but the name of Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to get to heaven but through him. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Notice it said they should not. It's God's will that we should not perish. For God is long-suffering and wills that none perish, but that all come to repentance and to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the reason why it says that they should not perish is because there will be some that will. And I'm going to talk about that word believe in just a second and how powerful that word is. For God, listen to this, we stop there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we close the book. But you've got to read on, my friend. John, listen to John 3:17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And then listen to verse 18. He that believes on him is not condemned. And that means condemned to hell. But he that believes not. In other words, he that does not believe in Jesus as the Son of God is condemned already. In other words, you've already punched your ticket. You're already scheduled. You're already on your way to hell because you've rejected the only begotten son. Listen to this. I got to read this again. John 3:18. He that believes on Jesus is not condemned to hell. I'm not adding anything to this scripture. This is exactly what this scripture says. He that believes on Jesus is not condemned to hell, but he that does not believe in Jesus is already condemned. Listen, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten son of God. Here's the bottom line to answer your question. God never sent any individual to hell. We chose to go to hell by our own accord. Listen, God is a just God. Every individual on the face of the earth has been given an opportunity sometime in their life. Many of you, it's been more than one opportunity. Many of us has been given. Why? Because he's long-suffering and he wills that none perish. And I've always said this. If you're going to go to hell, you're going to have to go through a lot of roadblocks. You're going to have to go through a lot of red tape. You're going to have to go through a lot of prayer, from people like me, preachers like me, evangelists, apostles, and pastors, and teachers, and church members, and church choirs, and people in your family, your grandma, your granddaddy, your mama, your daddy, people praying for you at your work, people, your neighbors praying for you, strangers praying for you, Jesus praying for you, the Holy Ghost praying for you. You're going to have to go through a lot of red tape. You're going to have to go through a lot of roadblocks. You're going to have to go through a lot of signs. You're going to have to go through a lot of signs and wonders. You're going to have to go through a lot of wake-up calls, dreams, visions. Yes, I said dreams and visions. You can go to the book of Job, and I can show you in scripture in the book of Job where God will get your attention in a dream. He'll wake you in your dream. He'll shake you in a dream to keep you from the pit, to keep you out of hell. Why? Because he is madly in love with you and I, because he is fervently chasing after you and I, and he is moving heaven and earth to make sure that you and I don't go through to this place of eternal torment, because he never intended for us to go to a place where he created to go to as a place of eternal damnation for the devil and his angels. But he has no choice, because he's a just God, but to allow us to go to that place. Why? Because we've rejected him. Let me get to this and we're going to close. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, this whosoever believeth. This word believe in him. There's a lot of people that believe. The Bible says, you believe in God, you do well. Even demons believe in God and they tremble. This word believeth here doesn't mean that you believe, as in you believe that, listen, you say, well, I believe we're all on an airplane together and we're flying and we're 22,000 feet in the air. The plane is on fire. The pilot has instructed all of us there. He says, he gets on there. The pilot gets on there and he says, there is parachutes for everyone. Now you could say, I believe there's a parachute on the plane. I believe it. But guess what? If you don't put on the parachute and you don't put your faith in this parachute when you jump out of this plane, then it's not going to do you any good. There's a lot of people, oh, come on, somebody. There's a lot of people that they want to believe in God because they want fire insurance to get out of hell. But this is not, when you look this Greek word up, believe, it means to believe in the Lord with all of thy heart, thy soul, thy strength, to put your very fiber, your being, everything in you into your trust in God. It means you believe in him, not just as your Lord or your Savior, but as Lord. People want to believe in God as in their Savior to get them out of hell. But he says, many will come unto me on that day. And they will say, Lord, Lord, did we not do this and do that and cast out devils and do many works in your name? And he will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. In other words, you believed that I was who I am, but your motives were wrong. Your intent was wrong. You used me for gain. You used me for filthy lucre. You used me for popularity. You used me to get out of jail free. You used me as manipulation. What does it mean when he says, Lord, Lord? He says, many will know me, but they don't do what I say. Again, they know him as Savior, but they don't know him as Lord. I want to give you an invite. You know what it means? Here's what it means. Let me give you my definition of when it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Friends, on June 2nd of 2000, when the invite came and I felt him wooing me by the Holy Spirit of God, when I felt the Holy Spirit wooing me and drawing me, and the Bible says that no man could come unto the Father lest they come to the Son. No man could come to the Son lest he be drawn by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit draws us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he was wooing me that day, and I went forward, and I fell on the altar, and the Bible says a broken heart and a contrite spirit, the Lord will not reject and he will not deny. And I cried out to the Lord. I'm telling you, the Lord, the Holy Spirit came into my heart and I was born again. I said yes to him. It wasn't that I didn't believe in God because if I didn't believe in God, I wouldn't have come forward to begin with. So it wasn't just I believed in him, but let me go back to the parachute. It's not that you just believe in the parachute, but you got to put it on. Paul said in the New Testament, he said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. So with that day, I put him on. And when I put him on that day, I didn't put him on just so I could get out of hell. I didn't put him on so he could just be my Savior, but I put him on so that he could be my Lord, to be the Lord of my life. And how can I prove that he was the Lord of my life? Because I was changed that day. I didn't want to talk like I used to talk anymore that day. I didn't want to keep doing what I kept doing that day, because I become acquainted with the Creator of the universe. And when I began to get into his word, his everlasting word, his living word, it began to leap on the inside of me. It began to grow on the inside of me, and that love affair, that passion began to grow and begin to kindle on the inside of me. And I wanted to please him. I wanted to do what was right in him. And I began to recognize by the Holy Spirit of God that he was taking me through a process called sanctification. And through this process, and friends, it's been 20 years next month, and I'm still not through the process of sanctification. He's still molding me. He's still shaping me. And whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth as a father his own son. And I thank God for that. And I thank God that he's still allowing me to grow, and he's still allowing me to mature, and he's still allowing me to shave some stuff off and put some things away and put some things down and put some things off, but so that it allows me to put some things on and grow in him. That's what I'm talking about. So if you are serious today about putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's time to stop playing games. It's time to repent of your sins. It's time to get right with God. Yes, there's a real heaven. Yes, there's a real hell. Yes, there's real demons, and there is a real Satan, but all truth is parallel. If there's a hell, there's a heaven. If there's demons, there's angels. If there's a God, there's Satan. And friends, the Bible says, choose ye this day whom thou shall serve. So I'm giving you an opportunity today. By the Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you today that you would move mightily through this camera lens, right there on Facebook Live, right there on YouTube, right through that podcast. If there be any individual that is not right with you, God, you know their circumstance, you know their history, you know what they're in, you know their ups and their downs, and you know their circumstances, what it looks like, you know exactly where they're at right now. And I pray by the Holy Spirit that you, just like you drew me that day to almost 20 years ago next month, Lord, just like I felt the Holy Spirit that day when he was wooing me, my heart began to beat faster. My hands began to sweat a little bit. My heart was racing, and I knew that I had to get right with God. I'm asking that you would draw people right now. Draw them to repentance right now. Lord, if they got to pull the car over, let them pull it over. If they got to go in another room and take the phone with them, if they got to go in a bathroom, if they got to go in an office, if they've got to go in a closet, if they got to go in a basement and get alone, and they got to repent, they got to get their heart right with you. God, whatever it be, God, I'm asking that you would arrest them by the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, let them get right with you. Lord, you said today is a day into salvation. We're not promised tomorrow, God. Lord, our heart can stop beating tonight. We can die in a car crash tonight. We can go into eternity tonight. Lord, and I'm asking right now that, Father, that souls that the devil has held into captivity would be loosed and released right now. And Father, that you would purge hell. And Lord God, that you would begin to flood heaven with names in the Lamb's Book of Life of new converts right now. And you say, well, Brother Ricky, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to pray. I want you to pray this simple prayer with me right now. It is not that complicated. I'm not going to do a sinner's prayer. I can't find a sinner's prayer in the Bible. The Bible says repent. So that's what we're going to do. I want you to lay your hand right here on your heart. I want you to believe and I want you to pray. And if you'll pray this and believe this in your heart, then friends, you'll be saved. You will be saved and born again. Say, Jesus, I ask that you'd forgive me. I ask that you would come into my heart by the Holy Spirit and live in me and live through me. I recognize that my heart is not right with you. I recognize that I'm in need of a Savior and a Lord. Lord, I am done doing things on my own. I'm done doing things my own way. I ask that you would come and live in me and through me. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me a new creation in Christ Jesus. Lord, I believe in you. I put my trust in you that you died on the cross and that you rose again from the dead and that you are seated at the right hand of the Father. And Lord Jesus, I just thank you that I'm now a child of God and that my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And from this day forward, I'm asking, Lord, that you would guide me, that you would lead me, that you would direct me. Lord, show me the church that I need to go to. Show me the pastor that I need to submit and serve under. Lord, show me the people that I need to be yoked with. Show me the people that I need to come out from being yoked with. Show me the new and help me to lay down the old. Help me to burn bridges behind me that I don't need to cross anymore. And help me to move forward into my new life as a born-again, Spirit-filled believer in Christ Jesus. Now, friends, I want you to lift your hand right where you're at, and I want you to receive this blessing today. Father, I thank you for every individual under the sound of my voice, for those who have just accepted you, for those that have maybe come back to you. I'm asking as their hands are raised in the air, I'm asking, Father, that with the same faith that they took to believe in you, to be saved, I'm asking that they be filled with the Holy Spirit, just as they were on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, fill them with the Holy Ghost and fire. Lord, that they will never be the same again, that when they read the word, it will never be the same again, that they would receive their prayer language, that, Lord, they would receive that dunamis power that they can exercise. And now not only will they rejoice because their name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, but, Lord, that they will have the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of hell in Jesus' name, that they can cast out devils, that they can lay hands on the sick, and that they can raise the dead. Why? Because the word of God said that we could, and because you commissioned us, according to Mark 16, to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature in Jesus' name. Friend, listen, before we close, I want to tell you, listen, if you did this and you said yes to the Lord, you came back to the Lord, it's imperative that you do this. I want you tomorrow, tonight, when we get off this broadcast, I want you to tell at least 3 people what you've done. Call them up. Say, I want you to listen what I've done. I've given my heart to the Lord. Go to work tomorrow. I've given my heart to the Lord. Share your testimony. Share what God said. You say, why? Because the Bible says they overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Your testimony is so powerful. You keep testifying, and because this is what's going to ignite the flame in others, in Jesus' name. EndTimeHeadlines.org, EndTimeHeadlines.com. That's going to be where you're going to find us, guys. EndTimeHeadlines.org, EndTimeHeadlines.com. You're going to see that come up there on your screen right there. I pray that you, if you have not yet subscribed to our main website, I pray that you would do that. Do it today. Do it right when you get off here. Do it on your mobile. Do it on your tablet. Do it on your laptop, your desktop. Go to our main website. When you go there, go up to the top where it says subscribe. Click on that button and subscribe. Type in your name. Type in your email address. You'll get one daily digest every single day in your inbox, and you're going to be able to keep up with our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Also, I want you to do this. Guys, this is a double blessing, so you can't miss out. Go to right there on your screen. You guys listen on podcast, go to endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. While you're there, you're going to see a place up at the top where it says ETH app, ETH app. Click on it. Or you, on the right, if you're on desktop or if you're scrolling down, you're going to see an image where it's going to direct you to download our free app. You guys watching by YouTube, watching by Facebook, right there. See where it says get the official ETH app? See where it says free? It's free. So there's no excuse not to get this app. And it's on Apple and it's on Google Play. I want you to get that app because everything, this is the most simplistic way to follow our ministry, because right there on the, when you get the app, guys, you're going to have our news feed. You're going to have breaking news alerts, push notifications to come. You're going to, on the bottom of that app, you're going to see a place where it says listen and watch. You can listen to our podcast. You can watch our messages just like this that are streamed right there that are on YouTube. And guys, also, our podcast, I want to encourage you to download our podcast. It's on Spotify, it's on Apple, and you can go to the main website. You can listen to our podcast there. You guys on YouTube and Facebook, if you want to do that, I encourage you to do that as well. And then I want you to, if the Lord, listen, if this ministry is a continual source of blessing, it's a continual source of blessing, information, edification, and equipping. I know that's a lot of words. Information, blessing, equipping, transformation. If it just blesses you throughout the week, we usually come on at least 2 to 3 times a week. Every single week, we're either informing you of prophetic headlines through our prophecy viewpoint segments, where we're getting you up to date with some of the things that are going on, and we give you a perspective of that. Or we're giving you messages like this, equipping messages, or we may give you a word of encouragement, whatever the case may be, or even some prophetic updates. If this ministry is a continuous source of blessing in your life, and you would like to be a blessing back to us and help us remain strong for the rest of the year of 2020, we want to encourage you to sow a seed of any amount. And you say, well, it's free. It is free. Our messages are free. Our podcasts are free. Our YouTube channel is free. Our app is free. Our digest is free. Our email subscription is free. Everything is free for you guys. You don't have to do anything. It's free. All we ask is if the Lord puts it on your heart, go and pray and say, just ask the Lord, Lord, would you have me to do anything? And if the Lord puts it on your heart to give a one-time offering, do that. Just be obedient. Or you may be one of our ETH partners, our monthly partners, and we've got several partners that help us to maintain maintain strong throughout the years that we've done this. We've done this since 2010. We've gone for 10 years now. We've remained strong, and we're, Lord willing, we're going to continue to do that 10 more years. If the Lord tarries and we continue, we're going to do that. So we're asking, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, please be obedient and do that. Again, you can do that by going to our app right here. You can see this on the screen. And if you'll click over to the right where it says donate, you can give electronically. You guys on podcast, again, all that information is going to come at the end of this broadcast. If you guys are If you like to give old school, and this is not anything derogatory. Listen, I even give by check and sometimes to certain ministries or whatnot. If you wish to give by check or money order, you can do that. And that information there at the top of the screen right there is End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana, 47131. That is our physical mailing address. And again, if you guys didn't catch our last episode, either by podcast, YouTube, or Facebook, you missed the news. That physical mailing address is going to change soon because my family and I are officially moving out of the state of Indiana, and we're moving south to Georgia, to the Loganville, Monroe area, right in that proximity in that area. This is something that's been going on for several years that we prayed about, and now we believe the time has come for the transition, to make that transition. Again, your prayers are appreciated. We appreciate your prayers of agreement for a position there for my wife. She's in the medical field as a practitioner. We're believing God that God's going to provide not just any job, but it's going to be the right job at the right place at the right time, the right pay, the right benefits. It's going to be the job. I believe God shuts many doors before he opens the door. So we're believing for that, and we're believing that our house will sell quickly, and it will sell for what we're asking for, and we're going to find the right house. So I know that's a lot to pray for, and you say, does God really care about that? Absolutely. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Guys, these things is a job, it's a career, it's a home, it's a good school for your children, it's clothes on your back, it's all these things shall be added unto you. All in what he says is just seek first the kingdom of God. So I just want to leave you with that, guys. When we seek first the kingdom of God, when you sow and you bless another ministry, God will meet your need. Every penny that comes into this ministry, when it comes in, we sow our tithes and offerings. We give to orphans, the orphanages, the widows, the poor, the needy. We sow into many streams. The Bible says, cast your bread upon many waters. We sow into many ministries that are equipping, helping, encouraging missionaries. And again, local church, all that goes out. So when you guys sow into this ministry, not only are you putting seed into this ground, but you've also got seed in many other outlets as well, because you're sowing right into that. So again, we love you guys. We're going to sign off today on this Wednesday. Again, we will be off tomorrow and the rest of the week because I'm actually driving tomorrow, hitting the road and going down to Georgia. Again, pray for safe travel for us as we travel down to Georgia for the next 4 or 5 days. Again, we're working all this move out, and it's a transition. But we will be back on here next week, and we will continue this series along with probably a viewpoint segment, and we'll discuss whatever our news and headlines is for that week. So again, we're going to sign off on this Wednesday, but we'll be back on next week to continue with our series and with other things that we'll be discussing. So we love you guys. God bless you again. Thank you for your prayers and your support to End Time Headlines. God bless. We'll see you then.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana, 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.